The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 38, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das of Hikari, recorded on September 22nd, 2012, in Taman Sentosa, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Nahi jnane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayam yogasam siddha kalinat mani vindati Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayam yogasam siddha kalinat mani vindati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Don't whisper. You just listen. No whispering when during the class. Purport. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service, and when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarine. Many people have different opinions about what is sublime. Some people think wine is sublime. Some people think McDonald's hamburgers are sublime. You see? Some people think rock and roll music is very sublime. Everyone has different opinions as to what is sublime, but here Krishna himself is speaking. And who is Krishna? Is he just an ordinary person? No. Krishna is the supreme authority. Why is he the supreme authority? Because he's God. What does that mean, God? See, that's a word, you see. What does God mean? That means Param Ishvar in Sanskrit. He's the supreme controller, you see. Just like in your country, you have a prime minister, and he is the controller of Malaysia. You're a prime minister. But then there is also a predominating deity of the planet Earth, Bhumi Devi. She is the controller of the Earth planet. And then there is Lord Brahma, who is the controller of the whole universe. And then there is a supreme controller over everything, and his name is Parameshwar, or Krishna. Is it? So when he speaks, when he gives his opinion, that opinion is final. Because actually everything that exists is simply his energy. He has perfect knowledge of everything because nothing exists save and except by his emanating it. The floor you're sitting on right now is an emanation from God. It is his energy emanating from him. If Krishna was not emanating this floor you're sitting on right now, you'd fall down and hit the ground. And if he wasn't emanating the ground you're sitting on, you'd just be floating in outer space somewhere. You see? So Krishna is the one who supplies everything. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. Krishna is giving everything. He's giving you your very self. Your very existence is the mercy. You exist because Krishna wants you to exist. You think you exist because your mother and father wanted to have a baby? No. You're not your body. You're an eternal spiritual being. You exist as a person because Krishna wants you to exist. So when Krishna speaks, it's not just somebody else is shooting off their opinion like an ass, you know. Hee-haw, hee-haw. You see, like that Dr. Hawkings, you see, who says that everything comes out of absolutely nothing. Krishna is the supreme authority. So when he says there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge, then we should listen. What does Krishna mean by that, you see? We should try to understand, what does he mean? I mean, you know, knowledge is subtle. You can't eat it, you can't see it, you can hear it, but it's a subtle thing, knowledge, is it? You can't wear it, you can't drive it, you can't smoke it, is it? So it's subtle. But Krishna says that thing, that subtle thing called knowledge, is the most sublime and pure thing in all of existence. In this world, you see. So, if you're looking for the sublime, and actually, did you know you're looking for the sublime? You know what sublime means? Do you know what sublime means? Sublime means it is a very wonderful thing. Very, very, very wonderful thing, you see. Everyone's interested in wonderful things, like a beautiful flower, you see. Something that's very sublime. It's a very nice prasadam, you see. Everyone wants that which is sublime. So, the supreme sublime is transcendental knowledge. So, how do you get that knowledge, you see? How do you get that knowledge? You just read it in some book? Not really. Transcendental knowledge, just like you go to school, right? Did they teach you 1 plus 1 equals 2 in the school? Yeah. And what is 2 plus 2 equal? What is 2 plus 2? 4. Very good. So that's called knowledge, you see. That's knowledge. It's not transcendental knowledge. That's called mundane knowledge. And that's okay. Mundane knowledge and spiritual knowledge side by side. It's stated in the Shriya Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo bhyam saha. Avidyayam ritam tirdva vidyayam ritam ashnute. Only one who can cultivate transcendental knowledge and spirit and mundane knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and thus attain the full blessings of immortality. So it's okay, you go to the school, you learn your arithmetic, you learn the subjects, but along with that, you have to cultivate transcendental knowledge, you see, because mundane knowledge, whoever got excited by 2 plus 2 equals 4 or 3 plus 3 equals 6, is it exciting? No. It's dry. But transcendental knowledge is not dry. Transcendental knowledge is full of rus. It's full of sweetness. So are you tasting the sweetness now, or you're thinking about something on the other side of the room? You see, we don't really know how to go deeply into transcendental knowledge. Our mind, we're looking for happiness in the, you know, here, this thing and that thing. That's our nature. Why? Because we've been conditioned to try to enjoy the material nature for millions and millions of lifetimes. Even though it's a source of misery, because we've been vainly trying to get enjoyment from this material energy for millions and millions of lifetimes, we go on out of habit trying to get enjoyment out of the material energy. It's a stupid habit. You see, but we do it, you know. It's just a stupid habit and we do it. Sometimes people develop bad habits, you know. They do have some, it's called an idiosyncrasy. Some, you know, they always twist their head like this. You know, always turn their head like this. They get some habit. People get habits sometimes called idiosyncrasies. So we have a habit of trying to get pleasure out of this material nature even though there's no pleasure there. You see, this is our foolishness. So instead of being victimized by the material nature, trying to get pleasure out of that place where pleasure does not exist. You understand my point? Instead of trying to get pleasure out of that place where there actually is no pleasure, which is a foolish thing to do. It's like trying to milk a dry cow, you see. Why waste your time? Find a cow with a full milk bag and then you'll get some milk. But a dry cow, you won't get any milk, you see. So we should try to get that which is sublime. We should try to get taste, rasa, or pleasure, you see, from that place where it's actually available. And that place is here, from transcendental knowledge, which is attained by engaging in the process known as devotional service or Krishna consciousness. You see, Krishna consciousness is actually the real thing. Transcendental knowledge is simply a byproduct of it. You can't get transcendental knowledge without bhakti. It's called divya jnana in Sanskrit. You cannot get divya jnana. It's like you can sit at the lotus feet of the spiritual master and you can hear divya jnana, you know, 24 hours a day, but if you don't have a mood of bhakti, you're not going to penetrate. It's just going to go in one ear and out the other ear. That mood of bhakti is very, very important. You see. Therefore, Krishna says, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. That service is very important. you realize the transcendental knowledge only to the extent that you actually have loving relationship with the spiritual master and with Krishna. Only to that extent. Ye yatamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. So one should be very eager to hear. Very, very eager to hear. You see, that's the key. You have to find a bona fide spiritual master, and then you just have to glue your ears to his mouth, not literally, but, you know, figuratively speaking. You just have to be completely attuned to everything that's coming out of his mouth. Because that absorption in the transcendental sound vibration and the mood of devotion, you see, that devotional mood, if you have a mood of giving service and you do render service as much as you're able to, along with hearing, by that combination of hearing and service, then you actually get transcendental realization. Then you actually have transcendental knowledge. You experience transcendental knowledge, which means you see everything through the eyes of Scripture. Instead of going out and seeing, you know, Kuala Lumpur as some, you know, city in Malaysia, you will see the energy of Krishna. Bhumirapo nalova yukangmanor vadarevacha. Ahankara ityangme binapa krishta ashtadha. You will actually experience everything is the energy of Krishna. You will see Krishna in everything. Yomang pushati sarvatsa sarvanchamai pashyati tashahangna pranashami satchamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. For one who sees me in everything, who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So we have to learn to transfer our attachment to Krishna. You see, right now we're attached to family, friends and family. We're not that attached to Krishna, and that's why we don't have transcendental knowledge. But if you'll attach yourself to Krishna, and only to Krishna, you see, then you'll get transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, he's not going to get it. Sometimes we have an opportunity to hear from our spiritual master, but we're pulled by family attachment to do something else. I know, to this very day, I lament how foolish I was when I was a brahmachari. The whole temple was going, in our Gainesville temple, they were closing the temple down to go to hear Prabhupada in Chicago. We were going to go see Prabhupada. My parents had, before that, my parents had already arranged, they had their plane tickets and everything, they arranged to come and visit me. And it happened to be a schedule conflict. And I, instead of telling my parents to change their date, I thought, well, let me stay back and preach to my parents. It was the biggest mistake I ever made in my whole life. You know what my father told me? I made that sacrifice of giving up seeing Prabhupada just to preach to my parents. You know what my father told me? He said, son, why don't you do something good for the society, like getting a job in a hospital? I stayed back from hearing Prabhupada, you see, to associate with my parents. It was the stupidest mistake I ever made in my whole life, you see. I could have gone to the Ratha Yatra, had Prabhupada's darshan, heard the lectures. I could have sat and gone for a darshan with Prabhupada in his room. So many things. But due to family attachment, you see, I missed that opportunity to associate with my spiritual master. So one should understand when the spiritual master is present, one should not let family attachment get in the way of associating with the spiritual master. Spiritual master is not an ordinary person. He's God's representative on this planet. Associating with the spiritual master is as good as associating with God himself. It's as good as associating with God himself, you see. So if one allows family attachment to pull one away from that, that means they think the spiritual master is an ordinary man. They don't see him as God's representative. It's very, very important to understand this science of Krishna consciousness, how to actually become qualified to be blessed with the vision of transcendental knowledge. You see, you have to actually take up the proper mood. And if you do that, everything becomes so wonderful and so beautiful. Everything. The mature fruit of devotional service. Well, what does mature fruit mean? What's the difference between a mature fruit and an immature fruit? Just think of a mango. A green, hard mango. You see? It's not really edible. Of course, they can make pickles out of it. That's another thing. But for general purposes, a green, hard mango is not good, ready for anything yet. You see? You have to let that mango become ripened or mature, and then it becomes very, very juicy and sweet. So, our bhakti is like that. A neophyte is like a green mango, you see. And then he becomes like a ripened mango as he matures in Krishna consciousness. So, you have to take up this process. As it is given by Srila Prabhupada, don't concoct your own system of bhakti. Take the bhakti process strictly as given by Prabhupada. Then you get the result. It's like Prabhupada said before, the householder couples have sex life. They should have 50 rounds of japa. So one man wrote me, well, can we just chant 25 rounds and then read a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? You see, he wanted to change it. Make it simpler, you see. But you can't do that. You can't say, well, Prabhupada has his thing, but I will just go invent my own. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It's like saying, well, here's the recipe for banana bread, but, you know, I'm just going to do it my own way. So what do you get after when you out of that oven? You get a bunch of gruel in the bottom of the pan. You don't get banana bread, you see. You have to follow the recipe. You want the banana bread? Then follow the recipe. Don't leave out the baking powder. So you can't leave the bhakti out of Krishna consciousness and just make it some, activity of in sense enjoyment. You can't leave the bhakti out. You have to take... Bhakti means surrender. It means giving up attachments to the material world and being attached to Krishna. You have to take bhakti as it is. And then you will get transcendental knowledge that you can relish. You wake up every morning in a state of transcendental bliss, seeing the whole world through the eyes of transcendental knowledge, looking out on Kuala Lumpur, you see, or Shah Alam, like we do every morning, you see, where we're staying. You can look out with the eyes of transcendental knowledge and become enlivened another day to go deeper into this nectarian ocean of Krishna Bhakti Rasa, you see. But you have to sacrifice sense gratification. You can't hold on to your sense gratification and expect to realize Krishna. You only take as much sense gratification as is necessary to stay healthy, that's all. Sleeping, eating, mating, and defending, only so much is required to be healthy. Just to keep your body fit. That's your quota. But to take more than that, for sense enjoyment, you're killing your Krishna consciousness. That's all you're doing, is killing it. You're hurting your opportunity for tasting transcendental bliss at every minute. So don't be tricked by Maya Devi. Would you like to be tricked by Maya Devi? Would you like to be tricked by Maya Devi? No. Maya Devi says, my dear boy, come on, put your head on my lap, my dear boy. Come, just put your head on my lap, my dear boy. And then you do that, and she takes a knife and she slashes your throat, you see. So don't let Maya trick you into thinking, oh yes, you can have a nice life of sense gratification. I'll give you money, I'll give you power, I'll give you prestige, I'll give you a beautiful wife, I will give you so many things, you see. Just do whatever I want you to do, and I'll give you everything you could want. It's just Maya's trick. Maya's cheating you. Don't be cheated by Maya. You pay attention now. Huh? You pay attention. You pay attention to me. This is especially meant for the youth, like Prahlad. You're meant to hear, learn, and understand this knowledge. You understand my point? You're meant to hear, learn, and realize these transcendental truths of Krishna consciousness as a young child. You're meant to be educated now in this science of Krishna consciousness. That will make you a fixed-up Vaishnava throughout your whole life. If you take very good opportunity as a youth to hear very carefully the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas when they teach you this knowledge, that will fix you up very nicely for your Krishna consciousness for your whole life. So you take this opportunity to hear very nicely and become deeply, deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay, first question. By preaching Krishna consciousness, is it for sure to achieve happiness in this life? Actually, as soon as you preach, immediately you become happy. Why in this life? If you preach, at this very moment you'll become happy. Immediately. As soon as you preach, immediately you taste transcendental bliss. Why in this life? At this very minute, at the very instant that you preach, immediately you will taste transcendental bliss. If we fall in the process of practicing Krishna consciousness, is there a second chance to come back? Krishna gives unlimited chances. Why only a second chance? Krishna gives unlimited chances. How to enjoy the pleasure of bhakti? Give pleasure to Krishna, give pleasure to your spiritual master, and then you will taste unlimited pleasure. Which will achieve bhakti yoga, through realized or book knowledge? The books will help you, but you have to apply the books and then you realize, you see. If you read the books and apply what you read in the books, then you'll have realized knowledge, which is necessary for bhakti. By rendering service only, can one go back to Godhead? Yes, if one serves purely, he will go back to Godhead. Please advise how a grihastha can engage every member of the family in the service of Krishna. Then you become a pure devotee. You become an ideal example of someone who is 24/7 engaged in Krishna's service, and your whole family will be inspired by you. So pay attention now. What happens when a devotee sets a bad example to the society? How can it be to be a devotee then? Devotee means an ideal person. Someone is setting a bad example, they're not really a devotee. They can have tilak on their nose and kanti mala on their neck, but someone is doing sinful activities. How are they even a devotee? Devotee means one who follows the instructions of the spiritual master. That's a devotee. He doesn't do nonsense. You understand? A devotee, he doesn't do any nonsense. He follows the, or strictly follows the spiritual master's order. If a grihastha can become a spiritual master and preach, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas? Because at that time, as a householder, he was not being respected in Navadvipa. They didn't respect him. At that time in Indian society, if a sannyasi was respected by everybody, very much respected. So, as a transcendental trick to get them to respect him, he took sannyas. By respecting him, they made advancement. So, if one can be respected without taking sannyas, there's no need to take for preaching purposes. One can be just like one can be, just like I'm respected all over the world, even though I'm a married man, I'm still respected. I'm highly respected all over the world. So it's not that I need to take sannyas for the preaching, sake of preaching, because I'm already respected. Why a devotee's Why devotees are getting problems with another devotee. Even though they take shelter of Harinam. It just means they're neophyte devotees, that's all. They haven't become mature in their practice, so we have to be tolerant. Sometimes the neophyte devotees cause problems. Even Prabhupada had trouble with his godbrothers. He said, from my godbrothers I only got compression, depression, and repression. But still I stuck with to my duty. So sometimes neophyte devotees cause us problems. You see? So we should not be neophyte. If someone else is neophyte and they're causing compression, depression, repression, we should not be the center of that platform. We should be transcendental like Prabhupada and just stick to our duty, that's all. You see, if a dog barks, are you going to bark back at him? If a dog barks to you, do you bark back at the dog? No, you don't bark. You're a human being, right? You don't bark back at dogs, do you? No. Another dog, he will bark back at the dog. You see? But you don't bark because you're a human being, right? Did you ever bark back at a dog? No. You don't bark back at a dog because you're a human being. You see? So, neophyte devotees who sometimes cause trouble, they're acting like barking dogs. So don't bark back. If you do, then you're a neophyte devotee also. You become advanced Vaishnava and you tolerate the nonsense barking of neophytes. It sometimes happens. And you stick to your duty. Whatever your spiritual master has given you, whatever Prabhupada has given in his books, you follow those instructions, you see. May I know what is the meaning of Bhagavati? Devi, what's the meaning of Bhagavati? Is Bhagavat and Bhagavati? What is that meaning, Bhagavati?
Bhagavati is the one sentence name for Durga Devi.
Huh?
It's a name for Durga Devi.
Name for Durga Devi.
Name for Durga Devi, okay. All right. Next question. A new devotee says that he accepts only Srila Prabhupada as his spiritual master and follows his instruction and claims he can go back to Godhead. Is this true? Of course. But you have to really follow Prabhupada. They say, well, I won't accept anyone as my guru except for Prabhupada. But that's not Prabhupada's instruction. You understand? It's like one devotee, he was sitting on the Vyasasana in our Juhu temple. And he said in the Bhagavatam class, we should only hear from Prabhupada, nobody else. So we could say, well, Prabhu, then why are you giving Bhagavatam class? You see? And get off the Vyasasana, you know? And, you know, practice what you preach. Get off the Vyasasana immediately. We should only hear from Prabhupada. And we shouldn't hear from you. According to you, we shouldn't hear from you. So get off the Vyasasana, nonsense. You see? So, Prabhupada said that his disciples would be spiritual masters. And that after he leaves this planet, the new devotees should become the disciples of his disciples. So, you know, that's Prabhupada's instruction. So, it's true, if you just do what Prabhupada says, you go back to Godhead, then do it. Become a disciple of Prabhupada. And then you're doing what he said. If you'd say, no, I'll only do what Prabhupada said, then do what Prabhupada said. He said, become the devotee of the devotee. Become the disciple of my disciple, you see. That's Prabhupada's order. If you don't do that, you're not following Prabhupada, that's all. Simply nonsense. These Ritvikism, you see. Simply word jugglers. Is it hard to take over sleep? How can we wake up from Mangalarti? A good alarm clock. And if you have a hard time, you know, have two alarm clocks. Actually, sometimes, even for myself, waking up is a little difficult. So I have my alarm, I have an iPhone and I set it for 2:30 and then 2:32 I'll set. So the first one doesn't get me, the second one will, you see. So that's another trick. You have more than one alarm. Have one, whatever your time is, maybe you get up late at 4, you know, have 4 and then 4:02. 4:01, 4:01, every minute the alarm goes off until finally, you know, finally. As many alarm clocks as it takes. And go to bed early, you see. Early as possible. Don't stay up talking and doing nonsense at night. Take rest as early as possible every night and get up as early as you can. Prabhupada told us early to bed. This is a saying from the famous American philosopher Benjamin Franklin. He said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Prabhupada quoted. Okay. Is it right if a devotee serves a higher guru perfectly and has good knowledge but not in good terms with other devotees? Oh, his or her guru perfectly. Yeah. Well, he's not serving his or her guru perfectly. Because the guru wants you to serve all the devotees, not just him. So if you're not serving all the Vaishnavas, you're not serving your guru perfectly. There's a defect in your service if you're not serving the other devotees nicely. He or she is doing a good service in the temple, namaha, to other devotees, but not doing his or her duty as a husband, wife, or the father, the children, the family. Well, we have to know what are the actual duties for the husband and wife and the family, according to Vaishnava principle. We shouldn't see this in a mundane way, you see. Well, I want to go see some movie, some mundane movie. My husband has to take me to the movie because I want to go to the movie. And, you know, it's not like that. The husband's duty is to make sure that the wife is going back home, back to Godhead. You see? So if he is engaging the wife in Krishna consciousness, he's seeing that she's healthy and that she's engaged in Krishna consciousness, then he is doing his duty. Same thing with the father and the children, the mother and the children. Can we go back to God after taking Harinam initiation? Well, that depends. If you stick to your vows, yes. If you don't, you won't. It's not automatic. Except that the gurus and I'm going back to Godhead. No, by guru's mercy, even though I cannot follow the principles, even though I'm not chanting my rounds, by guru's mercy, no. This is not Christianity. You just accept Jesus and you're going back to Godhead, is it? There's a famous joke. Have you heard that joke? About the Jesus card and Jesus credit card, you know. This Christian, he was very happy. This Christian, he had a Jesus card. So whenever he sinned, you see, he didn't have to. He let Jesus suffer for his sin. So charges to Jesus, you know. He went out and got drunk. So charges to Jesus. He fell down with a prostitute. Charges to Jesus, you see. Jesus, let Jesus take all the reactions, right? Just charges to Jesus. Anything I do bad, just charge it to Jesus. So the time of death, they took him to the court of Yamaraj, and he had a big grin on his face. Yamaraj said, you're going to have to pay for all these sins. He whipped out his credit, his Jesus card. And Yamaraj said, sorry, we only take MasterCard and Visa here. We don't take the Jesus card here. Krishna consciousness is not like that, you see. You can just do whatever you want. I'm initiated, so by Guru Maharaj's mercy, now I'll be saved. No, you have to follow the rules. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, 16 rounds every day, and you have to give up the nama parads. That's why Prabhupada at the initiation ceremony wanted the nama-parads to be explained. You have to also give up the nama-parads. Not that you can go on chanting offensively and expect to go back to Godhead. You have to actually develop nama-ruchi, taste for the name. If you have some other taste, Krishna will give you another body in the material world to relish that taste. You have to have a taste for Krishna. Krishna Trishna, a thirst for Krishna. Just like Radharani is a thirst for Krishna, you have to develop a thirst for Krishna. Krishna Trishna, you see. That's the qualification. So if you have that, even if you didn't get your second initiation, you go back to Godhead. Second initiation is a recognition that you've taken your first initiation, you've done a good job of your first initiation. You've been steady, you're first initiated, you've been chanting your rounds, and you've had a good attitude, you're giving you extra recognition, now you're a brahmana. Yeah.
Is that the second initiation is also the contribution of your maturity in spiritual?
Yes, it's a confirmation that you're advancing nicely in Krishna consciousness. When I went for when I was a candidate for second initiation, they sent me into Prabhupada. It was a wonderful moment. I was with Prabhupada there in the room. Prabhupada had one question. He said, "So, you are chanting 16 rounds regularly?" That's what he wanted to see. I said, "Oh yes, Prabhupada." He said, "All right, you gave me second initiation." So the main thing is, are you keeping your first initiation vow? Are you showing your steadiness? You got your first initiation, you're steady. All right, Prabhupada gave second initiation. Who is Bhakti Devi? And Tulsi Devi, same person? Huh?
Some say Bhakti Devi is Radharani.
Some say? Vrindayai Tulsi Devai Priyayai Kesavashcha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Sachavachai Namo Namaha. According to that prayer, Tulsi is Bhakti Devi. What is the difference between the spiritual world and the material world? One's blissful and the other is miserable. So any more questions? I ran out of questions here. Any more questions? There's no more question? Okay. Then we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming this evening for this program. May you all take this process very, very seriously and qualify yourself by maturity in Krishna consciousness so that you can relish this transcendental knowledge within your heart at every minute. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.